Thank you, Shannon. Those things are always so good. I get a lot out of them, I really do. I hadn't thought about the thing you thought about with the witnesses, though, so I'm not going to say that. I'll say something else about it. Our scripture lesson this morning is from the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which is in the New Testament, y'all. The New Testament, Hebrews, okay? Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves and chastises every child whom he accepts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Most of the time when I look at the lectionary for a Sunday, I am inclined to take the gospel lesson. Shannon knows this. She almost automatically get it. And the reason is I think the words of Jesus are worth reading out loud and hearing and talking about. Sometimes I'll read a psalm or an Old Testament lesson. But the other exception is when I come to another verse that's just like the best. The way the lectionary is, you only get it one every 3 years. It comes along and it's like, man, I'm not going to lose that verse for 3 years. And this one is one of those from Hebrews. It's just one of the best Bible verses, and I want us to look at it closely. And where I want to start today is last Sunday where I was. Y'all know I went back to my previous church in Georgia, Gum Creek Presbyterian Church. And I was pastor there for 6 years. And this coming Christmas Eve will be exactly 30 years since my last sermon there. 30 years. And so going back there was kind of going into a time machine. And on one side, I had put a little thing on Facebook. Facebook's got a lot of terrible things, but one of the good things about Facebook is that you can reconnect with people from other places. And so I just put something on there with a picture of the church, and I said, Georgia friends, if any of you were in my youth group, were youth or adults, at Conyers Presbyterian Church or at Gum Creek when I was there, come to this service so we can see each other, because we don't know how many more of these occasions we might get. And the great thing was several folks came. From those churches. And two brothers even came from when I was a seminary student intern in Florida. I was 25 years old. They were 16. And if you can do that math, I heard there will be no math in sermons, but if you do that math, that's 9 years. So I am 69 years old. Guess how old my youth group is? Youth that are 60. I feel old. I hadn't felt old before that. When I saw them on the front row, I thought, hey, and then I found out they were 60. But that's what I see about, that's the road behind me. Do you understand? Like, this scripture is about the road set in front of us. But that's about the road behind me. That's That road, when I was at seminary, was way in front of me, and I did not know what was coming. I've tried to follow the call of Jesus through that. I failed sometimes. I succeeded sometimes. And that was, I tried to be on that road that God called me to find God's plan. And that's why this is so essential this Sunday for every single one of us to look at, because this, we are all right now on the road that's in front of us. We have a road in front of us. I still have a road in front of me. You have a road in front of you. And the whole thing is to find out, what is God calling you to? You know the old phrase, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. What is that plan? And you can be young or you can be old. You can be somebody that's in college. You can be somebody that's going into retirement. I have, you know, one of the things I found out afterwards is that there were a lot of people that came who listened to Trinity Presbyterian Church on the internet down there. They think we have a huge congregation, by the way. How many people are there, man? It sounds like huge. And I went, I wouldn't say it's huge. And I didn't say any number. But, you know, they say, well, when I'm on the interstate, I'm going to come to church sometime. There are a lot of people that are listening. And so there is that call that they have and that we have, we all have. And some of the people who are listening are sick. You know, they have a diagnosis that is very limiting in their life. And they're struggling. They have to go get tests or they have chemo. They have chronic pain. They can't get out of the house. And I want to say God has a call on your life too, if that is where you are. And today it's really important to see what that call is, about what is the plan for you this day and the plan going forward as you go into your life. I went to Spencer Willard's funeral yesterday. He was my teacher in high school. I just can't help but call him Coach Willard. And I was one of the ones he threw a chalk at and erasers at. You probably can figure that out, but I was one of those people he threw those at. And, but anyway, he had a wonderful Christian life, and he had so many people celebrating his life and the effect that his life had on them. Spencer's road is behind him now, 100%. He's gone from the tent to the house. He's in the house now, and imperishable body now. But we got a road in front of us, and no matter who you are, today, you need to be thinking, and I need to be thinking about what God's path is for us, okay? And it's a different path for you than it is for me. But let's look at this scripture today as we think about what God's plan is for our life. And the very first word, this is chapter 12 in Hebrews, the very first word is therefore. And that means that there's something that's come before this that is based on. And what it is all of chapter 11, and I just brought it up here. It's just the whole book, or the whole chapter is, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And by faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Moses did this. And he goes through all the movie stars of the Old Testament. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. That's the whole chapter 11. And when he says, they all follow God. And now the word therefore, that's how therefore makes sense. Is that, therefore, since they have lived and followed God, therefore we are surrounded by that cloud of witnesses. And I actually love what Shanna said in the thing about our witnesses in the church to each other. And I think that is really true. But I also think this is what's really kind of interesting, that it almost sounds like that those folks who have passed away are interested in us. And they're looking at us. They're witnessing what we do. You know, you think about those people who have been important to you in your life. They are looking in and wondering, how are they doing? Are they following God? I think my grandfather is wondering how I'm doing. My dad is wondering how I'm doing. Maybe even Coach Willard is wondering how I'm doing. And people, so that's one sense of the cloud of witnesses, that they are witnessing us. And that's a motivation. Therefore, since we're surrounded by the cloud of witnesses, let us do the stuff, and we'll get the stuff. The other sense of the witness, this is the third sense now of the witnesses, that they were witnesses to Jesus Christ. And that they, you know how you say, I went witnessing, you know, we were a good witness today. They were witnesses, you know, themselves. And so since we're surrounded by that cloud of witnesses who've gone before and they've done it, they're successful doing it, we can be that too, okay? So since we're surrounded, now this is like, you know, motivation. We're surrounded. They're watching. Let us also like them, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let's stop right there. And this is like they laid aside two things. Now, one's pretty obvious. You got to lay aside sin. You know, sin is those things that interrupt your relationship with God and your relationship with other people. I often think of it like the instructions to a lawnmower. This is a stupid example, but it works. That you get a lawnmower, and the instructions say, hey, I made the lawnmower. This is the manufacturer. I made the lawnmower. I know what makes lawnmowers stay together. I know what makes them fall apart. If you want your lawnmower to do really well, don't run over hoses when the propeller's turning. Don't run over rocks. Put some oil in it, you know, and clean the air filter. It has all these things for you to do. If you do those things, then that lawnmower is going to last long. If you don't do it, it's going to fall apart. And the Ten Commandments and all those things about love and neighbor, if you don't do them, your life is going to fall apart. And worse than that, God's plan is not going to be done. So if God convicts you of a sin in your life and you know it, then you got to lay that aside and say, okay, you got to stop it, because you cannot go down God's road and stay sinning. You know, consciously stay in sin and say, okay, I'm going to square this off here. I get to keep that while I'm doing God's will. No, you don't get to keep it. You got to lay it aside. And then the other thing is much more subtle. You know, y'all are good people. I'm feeling pretty good about y'all. You know, maybe you don't have any sins to lay aside. But that's not the only thing to lay aside. You know what the other thing is? The weight. Things that aren't sins, but weigh you down. Now, some of you that run, some of you that are athletes, you know, you have ankle weights. You know, you train with ankle weights that builds up the muscles in your legs. But you take those off when you run a race. You don't see those 100-meter sprinters with ankle weights on sprinting. They take the weights off. And that's what we got to do if we're going to go down God's road. We got to be able to identify those things that aren't sins, but weigh down our spiritual lives and keep us from growing in Christ the way we could grow. You know, I mean, I'll just give you an example. Random example. It doesn't have anything to do with me. You know, watching Braves games on TV is not a sin, right? It's not. And they're on almost every night. But if you just watch every single Braves game instead of doing the things that God may want you to do, you know, having the conversation you need to have, you know, studying scripture the way you need to study, if all you're doing is that, or you're in the soap operas, or you're on video tubes, I mean, YouTube videos all the time, or TikTok or Instagram, and you're just watching that stuff all the time, you know, it's not a sin, but it's a weight. It's going to slow you down. And so the scripture right here says, just like those folks did before, let's lay aside these two things, the sin and the weight, the things that slow our spiritual growth. And then the third thing it says, and run. It just doesn't say run the race. It says run with perseverance. Perseverance. Now that is hard in our culture. You know, we had this kind of instant gratification culture. We want things now. You know, the push button thing, the app thing, you know, the cosmic bellhop button. We want things now. And some things don't happen quickly. And you just got to show up every day and serve Christ. And you just got to do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. And you're not going to have this big TV thing, and you're not going to have all this money, and you're not going to have all this stuff, but you're being faithful. You're being faithful, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you persevere. I believe it or not, I used to run 10Ks, Shannon. 10Ks, 6.2 miles, and that ran to Peachtree Road Race in Atlanta. And the way that thing works is you start at Lenox Mall on Peachtree Street, and you go downhill for half the race. And you think, man, I'm the greatest, you know, because you're going downhill. And you're just flying along, and there's a million people, and there's, you know, it's like eight lanes and all these people in there. And then halfway through, you know, three-something miles in, you get to Piedmont Hospital, and there's a creek there, and there's some kind of Civil War battle fault in that creek. But then you start uphill, and it's uphill for the rest of the race. And you've already run half of it, and it's already 3 miles. You're already a 5K in, okay? And this is a 10K. And now, here's the other thing. There are these people, there are bars all along the way. And if you happen to be on the left side or the far right side, there are guys with mugs of beer hanging out like this, going, hey, free beer, come on, stop. If you stop, this is yours, free. Hey, buddy, you know, and it looks good. And it's liquid and it's cold. And you think, man, I've done 5K, you know. But you got to keep going. You cannot, you know, you just kind of wave at the beer guy and you just keep on going. And that's persevering, getting to the end. And then it squeezes into Piedmont Park. It goes from 8 lanes to 2 lanes, all those people. And then you're running like this. And the spiritual analogy is that we're going to have all those kind of things that dangling out and trying to slow us down or stop us. And we just got to keep following Jesus. We got to keep following Jesus, keep following Jesus, and trying to do our jobs here. Go to church, go to worship, go to Bible study, teach a Sunday school class, lead a youth group, lead a nursery, go to the homeless shelters, go to church community service, you know, put clothes in the clothes closet, write cards for people when they're sad, visit people who are sick. I mean, all of that is serving Jesus. And I'm just kind of suggesting a million things to it, but it's doing it day after day, year after year. And so it says, let us run, not just run, but run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And the race that is set before you is not exactly the race that's set before me. We have different races that we're looking at. You know, this right now my race is preparing sermons, you know, trying to be, you know, a good pastor here. And being a good father, being a good grandfather, being a good son, being, you know, all those things. Your race is a little bit different than that, but you have a race. You have a path. You have a journey that God is calling you on. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And you need to be able every single day to do that, run with perseverance the race that is set before you. That's not like somebody else's. That's different. But it's yours. It's got your, nobody's got your combination of gifts and abilities and experience that God knows and can use with people that God knows need to see you. God knows needs you to be talking to them because you're the one, man. You are the perfect one. But if you spend all your time looking at TikTok, you're not going to do it. That's the weight. You've got to let go of the weight and follow Christ. Okay. And then here's kind of the carrot. And I guess I should also say with that, even if you are sick, if you're listening to this and you're sick, God's still got a plan for you. God has a race that's set before you. And you, part of all of our jobs is to figure out under this circumstance, what is God's plan for me? How does God need to use me in God's kingdom? What is the race that is set before me, that I need to run with perseverance? And then the inspiration is looking, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame of the cross. Do you remember the King James of that? Despising the shame? Do you remember that? For the joy that was set before him, endure the cross, despising the shame. And the reason I remember that is because I was with the Nets family down in Florida and with a Bible teacher there, and he had this kind of like prize he was going to give out. And it was a fairly conservative church, and I was at seminary, which meant I was a liberal. And the question was, do you remember this? For the door prize, what did Jesus despise? And nobody could answer. And all of a sudden I realized, oh yeah, I said, the shame. And they went, what? Jesus, he endured the cross despising the shame. And the Bible teacher went, that's right. That's right. And everybody went, well, you know, seminary may be okay, you know, because I was the only one that knew it. But I digress. But that's the joy that is set before him. He was focused on what's coming. He's focused on getting there, of hearing God say, well done, son, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy that I have prepared before you. That's what Spencer Willard just heard. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that's the joy that is in front of all of us. That's when we go from the tent to the house. That's when we go from perishable to imperishable. And that's the joy. And we're trying to find God's call and God's path from this day forward. What is it? What is it? But the joy is our goal. It's the thing that is kind of the carrot that's in front of us. And Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter, or sometimes as the author and perfecter. That means that Jesus started your faith. If you got any little thing in you that feels like I'm a Christian, who started that? You? Mm-mm. Jesus started that in you. Jesus is the pioneer, the first one to travel to you. And this is the thing, Jesus is the perfecter of your faith. That, yes, you make mistakes. You know, when I look out of that crowd last week and I saw all these different people, I thought of good times and bad times. I thought of things I did well. I thought of things I did poorly. It's not a straight path, but Jesus is perfecting, and it's the Holy Spirit that's doing it. That's the thing we have as Christians. We have the Holy Spirit that is making us better every single day. It's helping us forgive ourselves when we mess up and go forward and keep going forward and keep going forward and keep going forward. And even when we take two steps back, we take another step forward. Somebody said the way you learn as a Christian to grow is the way children learn to walk. Have you ever been around a toddler? It's called the step boom method, where the toddler gets up there and it's like, and then they take a step and then they sit down. Step boom. And that's how we as Christians learn to walk with Christ. We take a step and then boom, we fall. And the idea, that kid doesn't sit there on his diaper all the time. He gets up again and tries to, and takes two more steps before he booms. And after a while, they're running laps around the house. And that is the Christian life. And we have to be able to get over when we have gone boom and keep on going. Verse 3, it says, consider him and endure such hostility against himself from sinners so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. And that's the danger in the Christian life. Grow weary or lose heart. Something like 50% of millennials that were raised in the church have stopped going to church. They've grown weary. They've grown weary and they've lost heart. They've stopped going to church. And it's true in other faiths too. It's true in Islam and it's true in Judaism that the young people have stopped. And the idea for us is that we don't grow weary. And you know, maybe the way to do it is you don't have to know the whole plan. You know, the big cinematic story of the rest of your life that Jesus is calling you to? Maybe you just need the next step. You know, that I keep going back to that chorus we sing, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That the lamp shows you the next step, all the roots, gnarly roots and rocks. And the lights kind of show you kind of where the path's going way up there. But maybe we just focus on this step. And that if what it is just when you leave here, just act like a Christian today. I want, you know, this shirt. I bought this shirt early in the summer because my robe in there is too hot in the summer to preach in. You know, it's 100% wool, that big black robe, it's 100% wool. And this guy makes me look like a preacher. I'll tell you, it helps me get into the hospital. When I had this little collar, man, they go, oh, yes. And so... But I've noticed something. It's an outward sign of an inward grace. I'm starting to act differently as I drive with this on. You know, like you get tempted to kind of honk at somebody. You go, they're going to look back and see this. That's a terrible witness. You know? And then like you're in the grocery line and somebody's taking forever and you're just kind of, no. I was mailing something. This was on the way to the hospital and I had it on. And I went by the UPS store, and there's a woman and I were buzzing towards the door of the UPS store. And the way that store works is the first person that gets there has like 15 minutes, and you have to wait. And I'm thinking, I'm going to beat her because she's carrying all this stuff. I'm going to beat her. And we're getting to there about the same time. And I realized I had the collar on. And I went, oh, crap. And so then I got the door, and I said, let me hold the door for you, honey. And she said, oh, thank you. And she went in, and I waited for 20 minutes before she But maybe that's the thing, we all should be wearing a shirt like this that makes us act Christianly in our lives every day. Act like a Christian. That may be the next step in everybody's life today as we leave. Let's act Christianly. I read a sermon by a wonderful preacher in Wisconsin named Judy Kincaid. And she said this: a man was being tailgated by a woman who was in a hurry, and he was coming to an intersection, and right then the light turned yellow, and so he hits the brakes and doesn't go through it. He stops. Well, the woman tailgate behind him goes ballistic, and she honks her horn. She yells her frustration in no uncertain terms. She rants and makes crude gestures. And while she's in mid-rant, someone taps on her window, and she looks and sees a policeman, and he invites her out of her car and takes her to the station, where she is searched and fingerprinted and put in a cell. And after a short time, she's released, and the arresting officer returns her personal effects and says, "I'm very sorry for the mistake, ma'am. I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, using obscene gestures and bad language. And I noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker and the 'Follow Me to Sunday School' window sign and the fish emblem on your trunk. So naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car." You know, it's just act like a Christian. Go buy one of these. You can buy this on Amazon. I dare you. They're $20. Just get one and walk around in it for a day, and your behavior will change. I'm not kidding you. I'm going to close with a better quote. I love that story, though. I can't believe that's true. But this is from Barbara Brown Taylor, talking about how we need the incarnation of Jesus in us walking around, okay? And I'm going to close with this. Barbara Brown Taylor says, "In an age of information overload, the last thing any of us needs is more information about God. We need the practice of incarnation, by which God saves the lives of those whose intellectual ascent has turned them as dry as dust, who have run frighteningly low on the bread of life, who are dying to know more God in their bodies, not more about God, more God." Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we're so thankful that you have a plan for our lives, and that at every moment and in every circumstance, every age, you have a vision for what we can do and what we should do, what our combinations of talents and experience can do for your kingdom. Help us, God, to lay aside those weights and the sins that so easily beset us and run with perseverance that race that is ours, that you have set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.